Thank you. You may be seated. God bless you, young people. Well, it's been a joy. It's been a good week. So much appreciated the teaching that we've been hearing, and but especially appreciate your hearts to receive. It's just been a joy to look there and see all you sponges. Praise God for that. You can never have a week like this without a bunch of good sponges there, and it's just it just doesn't feel the same without sponges like you. So God bless you. It's been a joy, and I'm thrilled with the possibilities of what your lives can mean in God's kingdom. So today, my title is Wrapping It Up and Taking It Home. Because here's the thing, when we talk about purpose, if it stayed here at boot camp, I wasted your time. But if we could figure out how to wrap it up, get it in your backpack. Maybe you brought a suitcase along. I don't know if you did or not. I don't know how you came, but probably when you leave here or however it is, you know, you need to pack a few things up and take it home. And so that's what our heart is today for this session is we've looked at purpose. Purpose-filled lives, lives with purpose. We've looked in the first message at Mein Kampf, just the need to have a personal, something that you embrace for your own, something that captivates your heart, a purpose that drops into your vessel until your whole being is permeated with that purpose. And it starts coming out in every facet of your life. That's what we're driving at in that first message, Mein Kampf. Our second message was dealing with purpose in singlehood, and probably as I've meditated more on it, maybe it should have been more purpose in youthfulness, because that's kind of a lot of my focus was the fact that as young people, it's a tremendous time to seek the Lord. It's a time like none other, and yet we heard a few good testimonies throughout the week of people who maybe later in their life really got serious. And so the take home there is, it doesn't matter where you find yourself this morning, now's the time to be serious and seeking the Lord and having Mein Kampf to know Him. And we've been hearing that. We've also looked at lives of purpose in terms of impacting our communities. And we've looked at a number of practical ways that we can impact our communities. But I ended bringing our focus back to ourselves in the sense that there's only one person in your community that you can totally change their life. And the funny thing is that so often that's the person that we're least excited about. That's the person that we're quickest to defend. When there's need to make changes in that person's life, for some reason you come up and defend them with all kinds of excuses rather than just saying, that was the one person in your entire community that you had a chance to really change their life. But instead, you defended them. Anyways, it's just our nature as humans. And so don't forget, while you're impacting your communities, to leave your life open for correction and be very, very serious about that one person in your community that you really do have a huge, huge control over. And then impacting our world, I wanted the reality of the needs in the world to grip our hearts as young people so that in the days of our youth we'll apply ourselves to knowing God and becoming equipped vessels that He can use to make His glory known throughout the earth. That is His passion. He has committed Himself to that. And when Israel failed Him as a nation, God was ready to wipe them out, and yet He could not shake that purpose. He said, as surely as I live, the earth shall be filled with My glory. And so, if we could get that as a purpose in our hearts, and that purpose, it should affect the way we live our lives. Because here's the thing. You know, when we talk about some of these purposes of impacting our community and impacting our world, these are serious things, very serious things. But as we listened last night to the message on being lost, if you think about that, I forgot to start my timer. That's terrible. Y'all have to help me out. All right, so I'm already off track. But anyway, so the thing about being lost, and you know, there was a lot of coordinated effort that went into finding, what was his name, Patrick? What was the guy's name? Jason, see, how did I forget? But I did. Jason, and there was a lot of coordinated effort. You know what would have made that situation a lot worse? Is if a bunch of untrained, panicked people would have took off up into that North Woods without adequate preparation. I can tell you one thing that would have happened. Jason would have never been found. Isn't that right? Anybody have any search and rescue training here today? All right, you tell me what would have happened. A bunch of panicked people ran up in the North Woods. What would have happened? Just tell me. I mean, imagine a little bit.
They would have, yeah, if there's no organization here, you're lost totally.
Yeah, and so not only do we have Jason lost and freezing to death, but we have a bunch of other people in the woods in total chaos, and we have a bigger problem than we ever started off with. And young people, in these subjects of impacting our communities and impacting our world, they need to grip our hearts. But it's not a call to frenzied, panicked action. It is a call to preparation, a call to purposeful living, a call to mobilization, a call to being under authority, a call to knowing God, a call to knowing His Word, and to where in an organized fashion. And you know how this works. There's system. There was a tremendous amount of system that went into Jason's rescue. And if we're ever going to impact our communities and we're ever going to impact the world, it will not be done by panicked individuals rushing out. They will only compound the problem. But anyways, as we look at that, the problem is, and that's why I want to talk about purpose this week, is because we look at that and so we say, well, okay, I better stay out of the woods then. No! Get some search and rescue training. Amen? And that's what we were hoping to accomplish this week. And yet the burden of that world that needs to be impacted should rest upon our hearts day by day. The burden for our communities should rest upon our hearts day by day. As this poet said, we have a blood-bought pardon. 'Twas purchased at infinite cost. That pardon, left undelivered, leaves men eternally lost. And so we have a responsibility. We have a purpose. But you know, there is a big difference between knowing a good purpose and actually having such a purpose, isn't there? Knowing and having. I just want you to say that with me. Say knowing.
Knowing.
Now say having.
Having.
There is worlds apart between that. There is destinies apart. There are souls of men apart from actually knowing what your purpose should be and actually having such a purpose. There is one wise man that said, to forget one's purpose is the commonest form of stupidity. And I think that's true. Let me say that again. To forget one's purpose. Because, hey, we're not quite, maybe we don't have what it takes. Maybe we haven't done the training. So, okay, maybe we're not ready to go to the North Woods. And so we get on with our egg tossing, you know? That's a good way to prepare, right? Let's do these egg tosses. What was the object of that? See whose egg could break first? I think that's what it was. I can't remember, but it seemed a little pointless to me. So, but since we're not ready to go to the North Woods, let's get a good egg toss going. But see, instead of letting the purposes of God grip our heart, that we become men and women who actually know God and are equipped and ready to be sent to the North Woods. Oh my. So, to forget our purpose is one of the commonest, and that's pretty sad, commonest forms of stupidity. That means it happens often. It's easy for that to happen. Here's a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson. He said this, "Good luck is another name for tenacity of purpose." Good luck is another name for tenacity of purpose. We're talking about tenacity of purpose. And so there's some people who know how to have a purpose and they tenaciously hang on to it. Through the thick and the thin, they see their way through egg tosses and they cling to their purpose. And other people look at them and say, and they succeed. Their life is full of purpose and meaning and success and value in the kingdom. And some of us who've been pitching eggs for the last 3 years, we look at them and say, well, they had a good luck. I don't know. God must have handed them a good deck of cards. And that really worked out. Well, good luck for them. But no, what it was is just simply tenacity of purpose. Tenacity of purpose. So we're talking today about wrapping it up and taking it home. We want to look here a bit more at purpose. Our problem is not that we don't know what our purpose should be. And I found this out, as I mentioned, when I went around the butcher shop and interviewed people down there, a lot of good purposes came up. But somehow the issue is that in spite of all that we know about the purposes that should be in our lives and permeating our entire glass, in spite of that, somehow we're held back by carnal things. I want you to turn in your Bible to this scripture, Acts 27. Acts 27, verse 43. Acts 27:43. To forget one's purpose is the commonest form of stupidity. Acts 27, verse 43. And here, the context here is a shipwreck that has occurred. And the people on board have some serious decisions to make. There's a bunch of prisoners there. And when prisoners got away in those days, the people who were in charge of those prisoners paid for that escape with their very life. And so, pretty tense situation on board as we're losing control and the ship is coming apart at the seams because of the violence of the waves battering it against the ground. And so here we have chapter 27, verse 43. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. The centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which should swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. So here the centurion, he kept someone from their purpose. And that's a verse for us today, because I know your hearts, I know your eagerness, and you want to, I know every one of you wants to live a life of purpose. But the problem is there is a centurion who wants to keep you from your purpose. You know, and so we know what we should be doing, we know what our purpose should be, and yet we somehow can't get past our own fleshly desires. We somehow can't get past our pride. We somehow can't get past our fear of what our other people in our age group are going to think of us. We can't get past our love of ease and our desire for comfort. We know so well what our purpose should be, and yet we experience so little of it. We know so much, and yet experience so little. I want to think a little bit about what happens when we don't have purpose. And go ahead and turn there in your Bible just a few chapters over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we're looking here, what happens when we don't have purpose? Because this could be symptomatic in our lives. This would be evidence that we look for if we have fell into that common form of stupidity and forgot our purpose. 1 Corinthians 15:29. This is where we see what happens when we have no purpose. Because when we don't have a clear purpose, we follow the path of least resistance, do we not? We follow the path of pleasure. We follow the path of whatever feels best. If there's no good reason not to, you just do what you feel like. And so that's what happens when people don't have purpose. And so Paul here in 1 Corinthians 15:29, is speaking to the issue of the resurrection. And there was he was correcting a wrong understanding that was saying that the dead do not rise. And Paul says this, if the dead rise not at all, we're reading in verse 29, I'm breaking in there, if the dead rise not at all, jumping forward, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? What's the purpose? And so Paul lived his life very purposeful. And so he if it wasn't for the resurrection, his life would have been meaningless, is what he's saying here. Why stand we in jeopardy? Why are we endangering our lives every hour? I protest, verse 31, by your rejoicing, that which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me then if the dead rise not? And what here's so like, in other words, if my purpose is not legitimate, if the dead don't really rise, then this is pointless. And so what should be the conclusion if there's no purpose? What does it say? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So all of a sudden, once our purpose is out of the way, like his purpose was eternity. He wanted to know God and to make Him known among the nations. And so if that was going to be removed, he said, well, what is there left to do but just have a good old time? Eat and drink, and because we're going to die tomorrow anyway, so might as well just live it up. And that is a symptom of people who are living without purpose. That is a symptom of people who are living without purpose. And if you tend to just gravitate towards the easiest, whatever is more comfortable, whatever is more pleasurable, mark it down that there is not a purpose. There is not a right purpose. There is not a real purpose beating in your heart, filling your vessel. Because Paul, I mean, that was not the passion of his life. Eating and drinking, sure he ate and he drank. And I'm sure he enjoyed his food after his arduous work and arduous travels. But listen, If our purpose is not clear, we will follow the path of least resistance. We will follow the path of pleasure. We'll follow whatever feels good. And here's the thing, brothers and sisters, we need to understand that this kind of living, this living by what feels best, is a dead end street. I mean, at the end of that road of just chugging down Mountain Dews, diabetes awaits you. Chugging down Snicker bars or just chomping them down, obesity awaits you. Hedonistic lifestyles, living for pleasure, AIDS awaits you. Spending your money on pleasure, poverty awaits you. Homelessness awaits you. Depression awaits you. Despair awaits you. And talk to our friends there at that motel by the lakeside there, those rich men. Suicide awaits you. Because when we pursue pleasure, you never find it. You will find tremendous pleasure, tremendous satisfaction in living a life of purpose for God. I tell you, you'll go to bed exhausted at night, but heart just filled with joy. You'll wake up in the morning far from depressed, but you'll have reason to knock those covers off and get up and seek your Lord and charge into a day filled with meaning, filled with purpose, filled with joy. Whereas the person who pursues pleasure, after they've experienced all that there is to experience, depression, sorrow, suicide. Anyways, back to this whole thing of eating and drinking. I noticed that COVID kind of really disrupted our world. Have y'all noticed that? Kind of messed a lot of people's lives up and everything. And funny thing, a lot of funny things happen in the post-COVID world. Interesting thing, we work in the meat industry, and I noticed that beef sales are just way up. I mean, beef, people love beef. You know, so things are going tough in the world. They're not sure how the economy is all working out. A lot of things going on, struggling with their purpose. So, but let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. I had a customer the other day. He works for Budweiser. I said, how's Budweiser doing? Oh, he said, we have been unprecedentedly, but we just, it's just phenomenal. I said, does it ever bother you? Do you ever think about, like, do you ever worry about, like, maybe the families that you're, you know, kind of helping to destroy working? No, he said, but anyway, but he just said, but it's phenomenal. The way Budweiser has been selling the last, ever since COVID came out, because here's the thing, nobody knows what's going to happen. Our purpose is kind of, everything's kind of goofy right now. And so, you know what, let's eat beef and drink Budweiser, for tomorrow we die. That's the thing. And it's serious, people. I mean, you talk to any of these industries, and there's a lot of other industries that are booming, because people, when they're not sure what's going on, at least let's just pursue pleasure. And that is a marked evidence, if that's the way you live, a lack of purpose. Oh, let it go home to your heart. Living by purpose. You know, when I first talked about Mein Kampf, we talked about the purpose of God. We talked about the purpose of Jesus. And I want to go back and bask a little bit. As we think about wrapping it up and taking it home, I can't think of a better mentor, a better role model than Jesus. Go ahead and turn with me to this passage here, Matthew chapter 4. As we think about wrapping this up and taking this home, I think if we go home looking to Jesus, I think we'll be going home looking at the right role model here. Matthew chapter 4. Because in this life of purpose, our questions change. When we live lives of purpose, and our purpose is to know God and become men and women of the Word, because not only do we just want to know God for ourselves and we desire to be in communion with Him, but as we are there and we enjoy that sweetness, we also see a hurting world. We see hurting people in our own neighborhoods. We see hurting people in our own churches. And we just want to have something to share. We want to have a loaf of bread spiritually to split with them and share together. And so our questions begin to change. As purpose begins to take over your life, the questions you ask change. Listen to this. And we're going to look at here. We're going to look at this here in this Matthew chapter 4. But you know, the person who doesn't have much purpose in life, they're going to ask this question a lot. You ready? They're going to ask this question, what's wrong with it? About when they come up to make decisions in life, when it's time to figure out what I'm going to spend my money on, we ask, well, there's nothing wrong with this. I guess I'll do this. What's really dominating is a lot of times fleshly desires, but sometimes, you know, if we can answer the question, what's wrong with it, and the answer comes back nothing, full steam ahead, here we go. The man of purpose does not ask that question very often at all. What he asks is, how does this fit with my purpose? How does this fit with my purpose? That is the question that we need to be asking ourselves about so many decisions in life. Not what is wrong with it. Listen, if you ask that question very often at all, I want you to know that it indicates a lack of purpose in your life. It indicates a lack of purpose in your life. So just rewind here for a few brief seconds. Is that a question you ask your parents much? Is that a question you ask yourself much? If it is, you have some serious purposing of heart to do. Here, let's look at Jesus. I wonder how he would have done if he would have asked this question. But he, as we looked, he was a man of tremendous purpose, always doing those things that please the Father. His meat was to do his Father's will. He everything he did was for his Father. Just a beautiful life of purpose. Matthew 4, 1 through 3. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread." So here we see the enemy throwing some doubt on the divinity of the Son of God. And he gives him something to do. Command that these stones be made bread. Now, what's the question most of us would ask right then? If we came along with an idea popped into our head, maybe a friend suggested it. We should make some bread here out of these stones. A lot of times what people ask is, what's wrong with it? Now, I want you to answer that question. What is wrong with making bread? What? Person who said it. Yeah, that's right. But what is really wrong with making bread? Nothing. That's the thing. There's nothing wrong with making bread. Now, listen. Here's a guy. Somebody got some perception here. They're asking a deeper question. Whose voice is this? Whose influence is this? Now we're on to something. But you know, Jesus had a very clear purpose in his life, and that purpose was to do the will of his Father. And so he just had to ask, "Is this my Father speaking to me?" And that'd be a good question for us to start asking ourselves instead of saying, what's wrong with it? If you ask what's wrong with it, it will lead you astray. I promise you. I promise you. On the authority of the Word of God, it will lead you astray to live a life asking what's wrong with it. But when the purpose of God grips our hearts and we begin to live lives of purpose, we stop asking that question. Jesus did not ask that. If he would have asked what's wrong with it, he would have messed up here. But he did not ask that question. He asked if this was his Father's will, his Father's voice, Willis, his Father's influence. And, oh my, if we could begin to ask this in our lives. Mark, every one of us, when we come down to decisions, stop asking what's wrong with it. Start instead by making decisions that align with the purposes of God in your life. What does God really want you to do? What does God really want to accomplish in your life? Young man, do you want to be a man of the Word? Do you want to be an able communicator of the gospel of Jesus Christ? There's such a need for those in this world today. And you sisters, if you want to be able to help, and there's so much to do. And I would love to talk about this some more because, you know, actually, what happens here behind this little wooden box is very little of the edification that needs to happen in a church. A lot of the edification that needs to happen in our church doesn't happen right up here. This is just one little time on a Sunday morning, but there's so much more to church life. And, you know, and God in His wisdom has appointed men to lead and to teach, but you sisters have a tremendous, tremendous opportunity to influence the church, the community, and the world by knowing God and seeking to make Him known. There's so many hurting people that you, each one of you, can make a difference to if you seek to know God and you seek to share out of the abundance of your heart, sometimes out of the need of your heart, and share with people. I wish that you young sisters, you know, because like I said, this is just, whatever happens up here is just a few minutes, a few hours on a Sunday morning. But there's so much more to our church life. There's fellowship meals. There's conversations. There's counseling. There's friendships. There's talking. And if you young ladies could have a purpose that I am going to build up my sisters in Christ. I will not go through a Sunday and just have a mediocre Sunday where, yeah, we kind of talked about the time I burnt the bread and then and the time I had to go out and run and chase the cows for my brother. You know, I mean, okay, tell your story. We do life together. But the thing is that our relationships need to go deeper than that. And until you have a strong purpose to build one another up in the faith and minister to the larger body of Christ. See, there's so much you can do. Philip, in the book of Acts, had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. I mean, these were young ladies who the Spirit of God was in them and just bubbling out of them. And it was like that cup up here. I didn't get to see it. It's too far back. Shame on me for sitting so far back. But anyway, I didn't see it, but I could imagine it. And so just around this cup, I imagine there was water spilling out. And that's the way God wants for you young ladies. This is such a small little thing that happens up here. It's, in some ways, between me and you and the fence post, in some ways, I actually would much rather sit with people and just and process and encourage and just, in some ways, that's a feels like a more effective work. So and you get to focus on that. So your Sunday mornings, instead of you sitting there preparing a message, you get up, amen? You seek God, you seek Jesus, and you come to church with a word to share with some busy mom who maybe didn't have as much time this week, or some other sister, or, you know, just, you come. See, there's so much for you to do, too. Oh, Lord, give us this purpose to build up the body of Christ, to impact our communities, and to impact our world. And you young men, the very same thing applies to you. Now you were sitting over and saying, go for it. Listen, most of y'all don't spend a lot of time up here either, yet. But if you could purpose to know God and become men of this word here, oh, and quit asking these stupid questions, these foolish questions, what's wrong with it? It's not going to lead you right. Oh, may God help us to start asking the questions that Jesus asked. Whose voice is this? Is this fit with my purpose to fulfill the will of my Father, that I may know Him? We've been hearing that verse. That's a blessing. All right. I want to read, as we think about getting to just be men and women of the Word, I want to read you something here that was given to me the other day, and I just so enjoyed it. I just want to read it to you. This is talking about reading your Bible, and that's kind of I think Brother John was able to be here for part of his meeting and just appreciate the emphasis on the Word here. But I'm going to read this to you just to challenge our purpose. Let's purpose to know God's Word. Listen to this. We can all agree that reading our Bible is a very important thing to our relationship with God and our growth as Christians. I found out about three young women recently who were embarked on an experience I had never heard of, and that was reading the Bible in 1 week. One of these young women is from our youth group, so I approached her about sharing her experience in this publication. I was personally challenged with what they had accomplished and was very curious about their experience and if they would recommend it to anyone else. How many people take a week or two vacation to spend at a beach or traveling out west or to go on a hunting trip? But I never heard of anyone taking a week to read through the Bible. As you read the following account, please remember that this is one person's very personal experience. It probably won't be the same for everyone. So keep an open mind as you read. Even if you don't feel you can set aside as much time as these young women did, consider being more intentional about your Bible reading and tailor a plan to spend more time in the Word that fits your schedule. I don't believe that anyone got to the end of his life and wished he had spent less time reading the Bible. What do you think? You say that's right? I'd say that's right. Here are some specifics on how they did the reading. They started on a Friday morning. Lots of good things happen on Friday morning. And read until the next Thursday. The amount of hours per day of reading varied since they split their reading by chapters instead of by pages or verses. The longest was a 12-hour span. 12 hours solid, just reading the Word. Praise God. And the shortest was a 7.5-hour span. Whenever it worked, they got together. These three girls did. Got together and read it aloud. They even read some of it aloud when they were by themselves. And they did allow themselves to listen to an audio recording, which helped if they needed to drive somewhere. They tried to do as little of that as possible. Reading it out loud together seemed to build community. God bless you as you read this account. Here it goes. The Bible in 7 Days. This is by a girl named Rosina. All of us were excited, yet unsure of what to expect that morning. We had agreed to read the Bible from cover to cover in 7 days. There was a reverence as we opened our Bibles to the first chapter of Genesis. And we began. As we read, we felt ourselves transported into another world. The same world, only younger and more vibrant. We watched the world become the world we know. One filled with pain, brokenness. And we mourned with God over the fall of man and rejoiced with Hannah for answered prayer. In all the tumult of emotions, deep truths worked themselves into the framework of the Bible in my mind and in the minds of my friends. I can't give you the whole of my experience to you on paper. I can't even describe everything that transpired. Why? Because a lot of what happened, happened in my heart. There were experiences and feelings I cannot explain. Nevertheless, I will try to give you a glimpse of how my view of God and the Bible changed. First of all, the Bible became smaller. Connections between books became clearer. Yes, the Bible is a compilation of many different books, and yet a unity is found among them that only comes from the inspiration of God. Large themes run throughout the Bible. One, I noticed, was God being a rock. I never fully understood what that meant. To me, God being a rock was not only means He's my stronghold, my deliverer, my anchor, but also my source of life. For out of a rock came water. Secondly, the Bible became personal. The people in the Bible were just like you and me. I'd always had the impression that the patriarchs were somehow chosen and bam, they had the skills they needed, right? No preparation. They had the skills they needed. No, these were common people with their hearts that sought God. Somebody wanted to know God. Sought God. Through their surrender to Him, He prepared them for their future. He prepared them for their future. Have you ever wondered why Moses was called to lead the people of Israel through the wilderness? He spent years in the wilderness. So the flesh probably told him were a waste of time. He spent years in the wilderness shepherding his father-in-law's sheep, and God was preparing him to shepherd His own chosen people through that very same area. Amazing. God always has a purpose in mind. Thirdly, God became bigger. Often when we read the Bible, we tend to focus on the people. Reading the Bible at a great speed, I saw people come and go, and the only constant factor among it all was God. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever, and I can testify to His faithfulness, for I have witnessed it and experienced it. In conclusion, those 7 days of reading were worth it. I do not regret throwing my plans out for a week and diving into the Bible, for there I found life and healing. In my mind, the Bible became smaller, not in value, but in size. But God became so much bigger. So I was blessed by that account. If somebody who just said, you know what? I'm going to dig into the Word. And that could be a challenge for all of our hearts. Now, one thing we want to consider here as we think of wrapping this up and taking it home is I want to talk a little bit about your present situation. And those of you who know me well know this is a passion of mine. Your present situation. Your present situation, I want you to know, is not a hindrance. That's how a lot of people think about their present situation. Do you know anybody like that? Like even Otto Koenig, he faced that. He said he could be a really good missionary if it wasn't for the people. You know what I'm saying? Like it was just, I mean, he, you know, poor guy. I mean, how would that be to be a wonderful missionary, called by God, equipped by God, with the Word of God and everything, the Spirit of God, but then you had these people. You know what I'm saying? And there you are, just sitting high and dry. All the promises of God just churning like an engine without a transmission because of the people. And now, we laugh because Otto Koenig, he points out that he was mistaken about that. But a lot of people never realize that. A lot of people spend a lot of years of their life wishing they were in a different home, different church, different situation, different job. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, how would it be so easy to have purpose if I was in a different situation? It'd be so easy to live for Jesus, so easy to be a consecrated, sold out, radical, Jesus-loving Christian. But you got to understand. I believe that your situation, every one of you, every situation is not a hindrance. It is a catalyst. For usefulness. And that would do you some good to meditate on that word catalyst. I'll try to read you a definition. It's kind of a technical definition, but it's a a substance that a technical definition is a substance that causes a chemical reaction to happen more quickly. How many of y'all want to be useful in the kingdom? Amen. All right. But here's the thing. See, God's got you in a catalyst for usefulness. Like He's kind of a little bit, I don't know, no, God's not impatient. No, I'm sorry. Forgive me for thinking that. But in other words, He'd like to get you to usefulness too. But He's got you in a very, very good school right now. But the problem is, and I had this problem when I lived in Africa. I was teaching English there. And this I dealt with this day after day after day. And God was trying to talk to me, I believe, through my students. And I've told you this story before, but not all of you heard it. I'm telling you it again. But God was speaking to me through my students because I had these students. These students hardly had any teaching. It was sad because the teachers would come up and they would sit there all day and enjoy the rice the World Food Program bought for them. And then they'd go home again and not much teaching happened. You know, that's just the way it went. So when I showed up to my class and I was ready to teach them how to read English, it was a big deal because the teacher was in class. That's an important day. And one of the things we do is we do speed drills. We would, because I taught them all the alphabet and how, you know, these sounds are phonetic, the phonetic sounds of these things, and how if you join C and A together, it sounds ca, and you add a T at the end, it's cat. And it was, these were big discoveries. And I would have the students all lined up ready to do their, they had that 1 minute that they got to spend with the teacher of going over this list of words that we were learning and practicing, and they got 1 minute. And they all lined up there, and they were so excited about their minute, you know, and they were going to really do a good job, and just couldn't wait for that minute, and just looking ahead, and you know, the lines get shorter and shorter and shorter, and finally you're there. And the teacher turns to the word list, and you start off. And about that time, a motorcycle goes up the road. And after all, this is kind of just a sound. I mean, it's just ca, ca, ca. I'm not sure what it is. There it goes. Motorcycle goes up the road. And then a bee goes buzzing by. And then, you know, all these things that are just a normal part of life, all of a sudden are so interesting when we're supposed to be sounding out words. This is your moment. This is your minute. And I watch it happen over and over and over again. And this is their minute. And God was just ministering to my heart saying, this is how you tend to live. You tend to be this way. And we all tend to be that way a little bit. See, God has got us in a situation right now. We're trying to learn some phonetics, something that's going to make you valuable in the North Woods, something that's going to make you useful in the kingdom, preparation, a life of preparation. But all you see is a page of sounds, and you get distracted by a motorcycle going down the road or a bee buzzing past your head. And this is your time to learn to read. And we don't always understand the moment that we're in, the present, that is God's catalyst for our usefulness. And if I could give you something to take home a couple words. One of them is Mein Kampf. I mean, I want you the personal nature of that mine. And it's so similar in English, okay? So don't let the German confuse you. It's very simple, right? Anybody speak German here? Am I right, Eli? Mein Kampf. Okay, mine. So that personal nature of embracing that purpose. But here's the other thing. I want you to take the word catalyst home. I want you to remember that whatever you're going here, some of you are just going a few miles down the road, and some of you are going many miles. But I want you to know that your present situation is a catalyst for usefulness. And until you can bow your heart there, you'll never really be able to be that useful in God's kingdom. You're always going to be bumping into your own problems as you try to help others, because there's things that God, you know, because that's the other thing with my students is that now we're reading this page, but they couldn't wait to get to the next page. And I knew full well how to get to the next page. How do you get to the next page? By finishing this one. By finishing this one. And yet, hey, oh, wow, on the next page, we got four sounds linked together. I mean, that's progress. When can we start? About the time we quit worrying about the motorcycles and bees and start reading this page. Like when you can get, all you got to do is get through this page in 1 minute. 1 minute, and then we're good. That's our criteria. 1 minute, and then we can move on. What was that noise? There, you know? And the minute's ticking by. And that's, brothers, sisters, God help us. Your situation is not a hindrance to you right now. It is a catalyst for your usefulness. You know, God has got you in His school. You are special, and He has some special things for you to do. But you're going to need to be prepared for that. He chose your parents to help prepare you. He chose your siblings, or lack of siblings, to help prepare you. He chose your DNA and your propensities. He chose your classroom. None of the things in your life right now surprise Him. Even the tragedies None of those surprise Him. Can you buckle down and learn with a day-to-day purpose to know God? Oh, if that could grip your heart. See, the thing is, we want to do something important. It's with these students. They wanted to read big words, but they didn't know. Like Leonard said, what was that you said that the other day? The little shot, the big shot is the one that just keeps shooting. That's what it is. You got to just stick with the word, the page that God's got you on now until you can relate well to your parents. You have no business doing a lot of other stuff until you can relate in grace. And that's one thing I saw in the School of Prophets as we challenged our young men to become men of the Word is that I saw that, bless you, but that's an area where God needed to work on a lot of y'all is just how you're related to your families. Hey, that's the present. That's something you can do about right now. Purpose in the present. Relate in grace. Relate in tenderness. Relate in respect. Honor your parents. Oh, my. Let me think here what I should focus on next. Let me see. Give me just a moment to kind of figure out what I can fit in here. Let's fit in a few quotes. Purpose is the place where your deep gladness meets the world's needs. Purpose is the place where your deep gladness meets the world's needs. So we want to have purpose. And I want to say something here as we think of the work of the ministry and the work of the church and impacting our world and impacting our communities, I just want to draw something here on the board because, you know, purpose pervades all of our lives, if at least it should. And let's see, I don't like that. That's too big. But here's the situation that I find myself in. I just want to point this out to you, and maybe y'all can help with some of this here. So what we've got is, this is some things, and forgive me for drawing this, because I know drawings are kind of not always very accurate, but just so we kind of think together a little bit, okay? Y'all going to be merciful to me? Everybody okay with me? All right, so over here, let's say here's a purpose. So we have discipling new converts. This is something that needs to happen. This is a purpose that should be much on our hearts. And we have one over here. We have evangelism. Maybe, you know, door knocking and evangel. I wish somebody, maybe I should get somebody else to write this. And then we have maybe foreign missions over here. And then we have work days here. And maybe we have, let's see, there's many things. You know, there's these are all important things in our lives. And so maybe we have family here, raising a family and just making a living. That takes a lot of time. As anyone who has been down the road a little ways knows. And then we have the ministry of the Word, just teaching the Word. And so here's the one thing that I've struggled with is that I personally wish I could be involved in every one of these things. Can you relate to that at all? I mean, that's kind of the way I find myself. And yet here's where I find myself is that I find that this is more than there are days in a week. You know what I'm saying? And so I want to think of it this way. As we think of living lives of purpose, all these things are important. And I think we should maintain a burden for all of it. But here, I guess one thing that I want to point to is that I wonder how it would work if God would maybe impress or put on some of our hearts, maybe really a few people who really kind of focused on this. Now we these people would have a burden for all of this, but then there were some people who had a little bit more of a you know, they noticed when we needed to do some work days and would be the type that could head that up, and some that just would make it a priority to move forward in foreign missions, and some who would make it their burden to move the church forward in evangelism. And so I guess that's one thing I just want to communicate here. As we think of living lives of purpose and wrapping it up and taking it home, I wonder which one of these that God maybe wants you to really focus in on a little bit. Because here's where I find myself. You know, let's say for a minute, forgive the illustration, but let's say the servant body is somewhere in the middle of here needing to kind of give some direction in the church. And it pains me, and I had to do this several times, it pains me a lot to, you know, suggest a evangelism day and actually not just suggest, but to mandate it and then not show up myself. I'm just telling you that hurt because I don't like. I wish I could be everywhere, okay? But the fact is that some of this needs to happen. Sometimes we need to make a living. Sometimes we need to at least say hi to the family, if nothing else, you know. And we need to also be in the Word. And there's, you know, so I guess what I'm asking for is a little bit of forgiveness because I wish I could do all of these, but I guess what I'm realizing is that maybe God would have it to where different ones, we need a burden for all of it, okay? I don't think any one of us should say, well, hey, I'm going to do the work days, but as far as evangelism, just count me out. I'm not an evangelist. That attitude, I'm sorry, is not a right attitude. We need to have a burden for all of it. The evangelist, you know, when he's able, that may be his primary gifting, but when he's able, you know, let's go screw some metal down today. You know what I'm saying? We have a work day. Let's try to make sure we hit the lathing. Amen. Y'all know that's my burden too. Make sure you hit the lathing when you're doing that. Don't make any sunlight. I mean, we don't need artificial light going on in the building. But what I'm seeing here is if you could understand sometimes that I guess for myself I feel guilty because I wish I could be involved in all of this, and I realize just by sheer constraint of time. I can't. And so somehow I'd like to push you forward in these things. And I may be back there. I may have to be doing something else the day that I encourage you to do, to, you know, whichever one of these things. So because sometimes there's these things going on. It's a challenge to reach around in life. And so I'm not sure what I'm saying. Maybe I'm asking for excuse. Maybe I'm asking for forgiveness. I don't know. But what I am asking for is do have a little understanding. I really want these things to grip our hearts. I want us to live with purpose and try, be here for these and be here for these and be here for these and be here for these. And yet, sometimes in administration, it can take up a little bit of time. And so just understand that. But if some of us could take a burden and kind of move forward on some of this and almost like a little bit of delegation, y'all know what delegation is? I think that would be a help in kind of moving these things forward. So I wanted to share that in light of purposeful living. So we need to wind down here. Let's think a little bit about our lofty goals for tomorrow. Lofty goals for tomorrow. You know, there are people who want to get fit. They want to get fit, physically fit. So they build a gym on their house. They get the workout equipment. They buy it, spend money to buy it. They buy books and tutorials. And all they lack is just getting to next week. We're going to start next week. And then next week, something came up. You know, it was going to happen this week, but just, I'm sorry, yeah, I had to travel this week. It just wasn't a good week. And, but next week we'll start. And then, you know, but then, you know, how do you know the rest of the story. And so 2 years later, everything's covered in dust, and we kind of forgot about it. That's what happens sometimes, lofty goals for tomorrow. So we want to get healthy, but, you know, just one more Mountain Dew isn't going to hurt me. One more Snickers bar. One little more s'more isn't going to make any difference. And so we'll keep kicking the can down the road. Some of us, we want to have a strong devotional life because we really do want to know God. It's 9:30 p.m. I know I should wind this conversation down so I can get up in the morning, but so interesting. So interesting. Next thing you know, it's 1 a.m. and we really have to wind this thing down. And then tomorrow morning, you're just snoring away. The alarm clock's beeping and beeping and beeping. You finally, in a stupor, reach over and slap the snooze and remind yourself that God understands. I'm just so tired. But here's the thing. We can have young people, I want you to take this home. We can have tremendous goals. And I thank God for your goals. You all have some beautiful, beautiful purposes. Some beautiful, beautiful goals. But beware of kicking it down the road. Why not start today? Why not start today? Living lives of purpose, seeking to know God. And this will make so much difference in your life and how you live. Even the mundane. Mundane things, when a man has purpose, mundane things aren't mundane. Serious. There is no problem with boredom. Here's another key. There's no problem with boredom in the lives of a woman who has purpose. There's no problems with boredom in the lives of a young man with purpose. I mean, you get a spare moment, you whip that card out of your Bible. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wonder. I mean, spare moments. Because you want to know God. You want to know His Word. You want to let that thing permeate you, every fiber of your being, until the whole glass is colored. But here's the thing. Otherwise, you're sitting there thinking, well, I wonder when the boss is going to show up. You know? And here's the other thing. Living the life of purpose. I'm just going to tell you something. I've been a little disappointed sometimes that, you know, and I know we've trying to, and y'all did really well with the Bible memory in the School of the Prophets, but there's been times I try to encourage people in Bible memory and they were very compliant, and then kind of turned around, the next thing they disappeared, you know, but I also noticed that same individuals, maybe the computer screen has got a trail cam on it or a hunting blind on it, and just like magnets, everybody's gathered around looking, and please forgive me, I hope I'm being nice enough to you all, but I just noticed that sometimes where, and maybe I sit down, you know, here Sunday afternoon, we have here's a chance to really connect here and share hearts together about what God's doing in your life, and then somebody else has a question, and then quick take care of that, and I look back over to resume, and then empty chair. But these are people who love Jesus, who really do want to serve God, who really do want to love God, but somehow, I believe they do, but somehow the lure of the screen, and that's nothing bad, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. You heard me? There's nothing wrong with the trail cam. There's nothing wrong with the deer stand in and of itself. Sometimes there's something wrong with us, but somehow I'm just afraid there's not as much of a craving for God and His Word and delight where we actually enjoy, like, hey, here's a little bit of Bible memory going on. Nathan, did I hear you saying you're quoting your Bible? Let me follow along here. Excellent. Now, can I try it? You know, just that, to where you actually love it. Young man, where we love it, and that's what we're talking about. Until we get there, we have not yet been consumed by the purpose of God. And I won't be too tough, but please hear me on that. That's from my heart to you. Just take that. We find it so easy. The screen, a little thing to see here, a little thing to see there. And yet, so little effort in preparing for a life of usefulness. Let me see. Lord, give us wisdom here to what all we should include. I think we'll just close by meditating a bit on the significance of this moment. When your heart is filled with the purposes of God, you know, I don't know what you're going to be doing next week. Bethany, what are you going to be doing next week? Philip, what are you going to be doing next week? Tell me, just some things, just some very random basic things. What kind of work? Just nail it down here. Okay, you'll be working on some power. What are you doing, Bethany, next week? I gave you a little bit to think about it. Maybe you don't know yet. Okay, well, she's going to live by faith. Anybody, what are you going to be doing next week? Just anything. Yeah. Cleaning the house. All right. Now we're coming down to the substance of when we take it home, packing it up, wrapping it up, taking it home. When purpose grips your life, you will clean the house with a heart. Thank you, Lord. I get a chance to serve my family. What a noble thing. I get a chance to bless my family. And you do it with a heart to Jesus. And you're devoting yourself to Him. I want to know you, Jesus. I want to worship you while I'm doing this. And just seek to be the Savior of Christ around the house. Nailing pallets down there. Nailing, or what are you going to be doing? Nailing. But just to the glory of God. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. To the glory of God. Purpose. Just gripping every single area of your life. Who else wants to tell me something you're going to be doing next week? Let's pack this up and take this home. Come on, somebody tell me something else. School. Who's doing school? All right. Now listen, we dream, we sing a song, help us to build new worlds in Thy name, you know? And if we could understand that just being diligent in school can be a part of the character, the things that God wants us to learn to be useful in His kingdom. If you don't learn to read well, you're going to be up here like me yesterday, just stumbling and fumbling and making a total goofball out of something. But here's the thing. You can avoid that by applying your heart to school. I mean, seriously, this comes down home to our lives when we grasp our purpose. Anyone else want to tell me something you're doing? Let's fill it with meaning. Let's What are y'all doing in Texas out there? Don't tell me it's mini barns. Pushing trees over with a bulldozer. Yes?
Building mini barns.
Built.
Unconverted guy that I can't understand.
All right, building. Oh, listen now. This was a lot of emotion here. Building unconverted mini barns. You know. Building mini barns for an unconverted man that you can't understand. See, God has got us in so many schools. It is beautiful. See, there's so many things that God wants us to learn about relationships and about ourselves. Because He, I'm going to tell you something. There's some rough edges. As much as I love you, there's some rough edges that God wants to knock off of you through that guy. Heathen as he is. God wants to knock some rough edges while you're at work. Yeah, maybe He wants you to be the favorite of Christ. That's a big deal. But God wants to deal with something in your heart there. Pushing trees over. See, that young men don't have a hard time getting into that. So, but there's a way that you can go about that. There is a way that we can go about all of our lives, the present situation, when God's purposes grip our hearts, that fills it with meaning. From the time you get up to the time you retire at night. And that's going to be God's preparation for a life of usefulness. Here's a question I want to challenge you with. We're talking about our present moment as we wrap up here. You know, Philip gave us some questions the other day. I want to dare you to ask your authorities one more question. I kind of define this question for you. I want you to ask, because we're talking about purpose here, I want you to ask your authorities, is there anything in my life that could possibly be a hindrance to a life of usefulness? Because see, a lot of times we want to ask, is there something wrong? You know what I'm saying? That's kind of the Jesus. Remember I was talking about how Jesus didn't ask that question. Anything wrong? Well, how can you say that's wrong? Because the Bible, no. Well, let's just, whoa, stop. Mom, anything that could stand in my way of being useful in the kingdom? Dad, anything that could stand in my way? Elder, anything that could stand in my way? Anything at all? Because usually it's not a big thing. It's just little things. It's the little foxes that spoil the grapes. So I challenge you to open your heart to that. So let's take it, wrap it up, take it home. One thing I want to clarify on the whole thing of singlehood that I wanted to mention as well is that I read an article that one morning that focused in on the satisfaction that we need to find in Jesus. And I just want to underline and underscore the importance of a satisfied relationship with God. Let us make that our purpose. But there was one thing that probably was it kind of dangled a little carrot in front of your nose there. If you remember, kind of the insinuation was once you get that contentment down right, you know, then bingo. You know, it's like putting a quarter in the quarter in the quarter in the gumball machine. Once you get that quarter in, crank it, then out comes the gumball, right? That's how it is. So if you could just figure out how to do this contentment just right, and this surrender just right, and this satisfaction with Jesus just right, then bingo, your gumball drops out of the gumball machine. All right, so that's a little bit misleading, okay? Because here's the thing, is that God has different purpose for all of us. We're talking about a life of purpose. And some of us will serve God in different ways, in different capacities, and maybe some of us will get to be more like Apostle Paul. What a glorious way to live. And so I just wanted to clarify that. But in all things, in our comfort, in our purposefulness, in our youthfulness, singlehood days, impacting our world, impacting our communities, let's wrap it up and take it home and fill your day-to-day life with tremendous meaning. Oh, may God do that in our hearts. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for these precious young people. And we thank you for their patience as we've blundered our way through this beautiful thing of purpose, God. And I pray that where we've failed and where we haven't set it all right, God, that you would just so capture these young people's hearts with your beautiful purposes, God, that they could realize the privilege that we have to know God, to know Him. Oh, God, not to know information, not to have a degree, not to know all the facts, but to know you. Oh, God, let that grip our hearts. Let that wake us up in the morning. Let that motivate us through our days. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'd raise up people, young men and young women from this audience here today, that will make a huge difference in the church, a huge difference in our communities. And God, a huge difference in our world. God, I pray that from this group, there would be people who affect the animists. There would be people who affect the Muslims. God, I pray that Your great name would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray through these young people. Father, I pray they would leave here prepared to live lives of purpose, not to never again despise the present moment like our friend did when he jerked a little thread and passed the moment. Oh God, I pray they'd see purpose in their dishwashing, in their cleaning, in their baking, in their mini barns, in their pallets, God, everything, in their meat. Oh God, let us realize that You have got us in a school. And Father, I pray that we'd embrace it and that Your purpose would consume our lives. Father, I pray especially that You help the young men. God, it seems we face a lot of distractions. God, I pray that the young men especially would purpose to know You and to become men of the Word. God, do it in our generation. Lord, give us a vision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.